Hey there, welcome back to the Train Your Mind podcast. I'm Vanessa Forrester, and I have Danny Forrester back with me today. I invited Danny on the podcast to help me make the connection between the physiological and the emotional piece of training and racing. I thought he would be a great person to come on to have a conversation with because this is something that he struggled with a lot a couple years ago, and it's something that we have worked together over the last couple years. And what I see and hear from athletes are things like this. I hear them say things like, I could hit my goal if only I was a faster runner. Or what's keeping me from getting on the podium is my run split. And my answer to that is always something like, sure, okay, I'll agree with you. I give you that. If your run is not yet competitive, there are probably some changes that you need to make physiologically. But in addition to that, there's actually an emotional piece too. And that's what we're pulling back the layers on. Because in order for you to achieve more physiologically, you also have to explore what's holding you back emotionally. Okay, so here's Danny. Let's take it back a couple years to 2017 before your last Ironman, which Ironman were you working towards?
That was Ironman Chattanooga.
Ironman, a favorite in this family, Chattanooga. We love that one. What was your goal? What was the result that you were working towards?
I was wanting to qualify for Kona. I had always wanted to qualify for Kona before I ever really got into triathlon. That was something I had seen and wanted to take part in it at some point. So it was Kona, Kona, Kona.
Okay. And what did you feel like was in the way? What was the thing that you needed to work on to get you there? What did you believe back then?
Back then, I had kind of come from a more of a running background. And I had gotten my swim to where I was competitive. And I felt like the bike, obviously being the longest leg of the race, is where I needed the most improvement to really be competitive with the top guys.
Okay. So the bike was the thing you needed improvement on to be competitive with the top guys. And so if you thought about what that meant for your race, if that was like the thing you were working towards on the race, and it was the what you were putting a lot of effort into in your training, what were you afraid of when it came to the bike?
I think, you know, looking at it now, I think I had a lot of emotion wrapped up in the bike. And so I was afraid that I would overbike because I was so gung-ho on improving my bike, that
nailing the bike
I would overcook myself.
And so why were you afraid of overbiking? Where do you think that came from?
I think that came from actually not being confident in my run and taking away from my run to where, you know, I overdo the bike and then I kind of bike out my run legs.
Mm-hmm. So what does that look like? What does it mean? What happens when you take away from your run? Like, how does that show up in the race?
It means you walk the second half of the marathon.
I think we've all been there. That is what it looks like. And walking the second half of the run, how would that feel?
That feels shameful. It feels full of disappointment. I would feel like a fraud, you know, that I talk a big game about what my splits are going to be, and then I'm unable to execute that strategy.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So I feel like in more ways than one, there's a lot of athletes that can see themselves in this, right? Having this goal as a multi-sport athlete and being afraid of one piece of it affecting another piece, right? And like not having what it takes on the day. Mm-hmm. So for you, it was overbiking affecting your run and then what that means for walking the back half of a marathon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So back then you were like, what I need to do is get my FTP up. Like that will solve it because I will be a stronger cyclist. I'll have confidence in my bike. I'll be able to ride evenly, set myself up for a great run. Boom, let's go, Kona. So I will agree with you. Like I said in the beginning, like I will agree with you that you probably needed to work on your FTP at that time, right? Getting your power up on the bike can be a performance limiter. Or if you don't have the power that you need, that can be a performance limiter. Of course it can be. But there are other limiters to your performance, right? There are emotional limiters. And now, 5 years later, with more experience, greater mental endurance, now as 2022, Danny, when you think about that 2017 version of you, what do you think that some of those other limiters were?
Right. Yeah, if I think back to where I was in 2017 and, you know, kind of my mental space at that time, I was very tied to the goal. Like I was very wrapped up in the goal. You know, almost like my identity was, you know, I will be a Kona qualifying athlete, you know? And so I was kind of all or nothing, Kona or bust. And I think, you know, 5 years on from that, I'm still very motivated by my goals, mm-hmm. and I'm committed to them and I want to achieve them. But I feel like I've been able to disconnect the being wrapped up in that kind of all or nothing mentality to where, you know, I'm not going to quit if I miss the mark. Mm. If I, you know, am not having, you know, the best day, or, you know, all I can focus on in that moment is giving my best effort. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that has really changed compared mm-hmm. to where I was in 2017.
And you see that as enough, like that effort is enough versus like the goal being the only thing that's a measure of success.
Absolutely. Because, you know, thinking about best effort, a race cannot go your way sometimes. And at the end of the day, if I gave my best effort, then I can be proud of that. And I can, you know, I can have those positive emotions instead of the fear, the shame, mm-hmm. the fraudulent feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be proud and happy and content with what I've done that mm-hmm. day.
Mm-hmm. While still like reaching for more, right? Not like getting complacent in
Absolutely.
The contentment.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, It's sufficiency in it. That's my word for it. You probably wouldn't use that word, but okay. So all or nothing in the goal. That's one. What else? I'm going to challenge you here. What else?
Yeah. Back then we were living in Salt Lake City at the time, and we were training with a triathlon group there. So mm-hmm. I had some training partners. And I would pretty directly compare myself to several of my training partners, one in particular, even though that we were at very different levels of experience and ability. You know, this one particular training partner was, you know, had been doing long course triathlon for 2 or 3 years longer than I had. Mm-hmm. But we were friends and we had kind of some similar athletic abilities or, you know, prior sporting experiences. And so due to that camaraderie, I felt like I should be where he was, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I should be as strong and as fast as he was because we were so similar in some areas. But not taking into account that we were on two vastly different places in our endurance journey.
Yeah. You were like comparing your beginning to his middle or his end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. He was where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he wasn't a bad training partner. And I think that could be, you know, it was motivating and it was a great thing for me to desire to strive to be, but I didn't have that ability to detach,
yeah,
you know, where he was and seeing that he had put in more time
yeah.
at that level to where I was and not giving myself the space to grow into that athlete.
Right.
Like, I wanted he could have right then and there.
He could have been the example of what was possible for you, like the inspiration for you. Instead, you made yourself like need to be on his level immediately.
Right.
Instead of giving yourself the space to grow into that.
Exactly.
Okay. So the all or nothing on the goal, comparison to your training partner. What about the emotion piece? So you talked about, you know, when you had the fear of overbiking, it's because you were afraid of what that would mean for your run. And like the shame you might feel, the disappointment you might feel, the fraudulent feelings that might come up. What about that piece?
Yeah. I would say in 2017, I was very unaware of those emotions. I didn't even know they existed or that they were a sneaky driver of some of my habits and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I'm much more aware of them. And when I think back to 2017, everything back then was black or white. You know, it was, I had to get my FTP up and I had to improve my run pace and I had to, you know, it was very physiological and
numbers-based.
Yeah.
Everything was the driver from that point on.
If training was executed to a T, that is the, you know, it was a mathematical equation, mm-hmm. you know? And,
except when the races wouldn't go perfectly after things were executed.
You're not supposed to give away the ending.
Whoops.
But yeah, so now knowing, you know, being more emotionally aware, I feel like I meet those emotions more head on. Mm. I'm able to and willing to feel those emotions and then do something about them. And, you know, I can see how the emotions can affect me for a negative and for a positive.
So when we think back to 2017, Danny, to that race, right? You were afraid of overbiking because you weren't confident in your run. But really the lack of confidence in your run was rooted in a fear of being a fraud or the shame or the disappointment that would come if you walked the back half of the marathon, right? You didn't know it at the time, but that fear was keeping you from making stronger, better adaptations because you weren't aware of them. So now, you know, fast forward years later, you've addressed some of these emotional limiters, right? You are able to make better improvements in your FTP because you've detached from the all or nothing mindset around your goal. You're not comparing yourself to others in that way that's really not useful, like a negative, draining kind of way. And so you have this ability to be more engaged in your training. You meet yourself where you're at without carrying this emotional baggage that could keep you from making the gains in your FTP or, you know, whatever else you're working towards now. The FTP maybe isn't as the focus right now, but whatever the current relevant version of that is. That's the connection right there. The emotional informs the physiological, not the other way around.
Exactly.
So this is part one of a series where we draw the connection between emotional and physiological. And tomorrow we'll talk about how we take the emotions and turn it into next level performance. We will talk to you then.